of my favorite American folk heroes has always been Johnny Appleseed. But did you know that he was a real person by the name of John Chapman? He was born in Massachusetts in 1774. And during his adult life, Chapman planted apple seeds from Pennsylvania west almost to the Mississippi River. All sorts of folk tales grew up about Johnny Appleseed. You may remember some of them. He was supposedly wore a tin pot for a hat and coffee sacks for a shirt, walking barefoot year-round across the Midwest. He'd have cold feet today, by sure hope. Well, the Native Americans in this country thought that he was guided by the spirits. He was said to have a real special relationship with both animals and children. Johnny Appleseed died in 1845 near Fort Wayne, Indiana. But you may not know that the real John Chapman was actually a deeply committed Christian. He wanted to spread God's love as well as plant apple trees. There was nothing really that riled him so much as to hear people refer to the apple as the fruit of sin that Eve ate in the Garden of Eden. The horticultural legacy of Johnny Appleseed really continues today in thousands of apple trees in the Midwest that are still producing fruit. The spiritual legacy of Johnny Appleseed may perhaps be summed up best by the blessing that some of you know. It's one of my favorites to teach to youth groups. Do you know what it is? I won't sing it because that'll be painful for you, but... Oh, the Lord's been good to me, and so I thank the Lord for giving me the things I need, the sun and the rain and the apple seed. The Lord's been good to me. For Johnny Appleseed, seed planting was a ministry. In fact, if you think about it, all ministry is about planting seeds. Sometimes they're physical seeds, but mostly it's spiritual seeds that we plant day by day in doing good works and in doing God's works wherever we are. We have many planters of seeds here in the church. We depend upon them. The Sunday school teachers, the musicians, board members, even visitors here have a role, have a ministry to the rest of us. There are really too many to name in the church. Every week they're on the front line of ministry, sharing love and sharing their lives, planting seeds of the Spirit in the hearts of God's children. But you know, the ministry of seed planting can be frustrating sometimes. Because often, in fact, you don't see the immediate fruit from your efforts. Faith is like a lot like raising a garden. You prepare the ground, you plant the seeds, and then you have to wait and hope that one day you'll enjoy the fruits of your labors. Doing ministry can drive you crazy because there's seldom a direct cause and effect. Spiritual growth is something that takes time. You do what you can do, and then you have to trust that the Lord will use that in some way. On the other hand, planting seeds can be a humbling experience too. If you do plant something and it actually produces visible fruit, what an incredible joy that is. To see a young person develop into a disciple. To see the light come on in a class that you're teaching. To see the needs, the physical needs of a poor person taken care of. Or the ultimate, to win a soul for Christ. That makes all of the working and all of the waiting, all of the wondering worthwhile. In those moments, you know that you're a part of something much bigger than yourself. You know that the growth is coming from another source, from the Spirit of God. Well, today's lesson, in it, Jesus told a wonderful story about planting seeds. We usually call it the parable of the sower, but really it's more about the seeds than it is the sower. The disciples who heard this story responded with, "Why are you telling us all these stories? We don't get it. What's the point?" And this is one of those few stories in the Bible where Jesus explained. He explained that the seed was the Word of God. The good news of the kingdom, the Word, he's saying, is what we need for growth. Now, being a professional seed planter, I've taken in my mind and updated some of the types of people from the parable. The first are some people who are just hardened to the gospel. They never encounter the Christ because they either never enter a church or they come in and they sit here through worship on Sunday, but they never ever give any evidence Monday through Saturday that the Word made any impact on their lives. Now, these are what I call the Teflon people. The Word never sticks to them. There are the folks that correspond also to the rocky soil. They sprout, but they never get any depth, so they wither. Now, these people I call the roller coaster Christians. They're up and they're down and they're up and they're down. They'll come here into church and they'll get all excited and gung-ho because they're going to get back to church now and they're going to make a go of it this time. You've heard them say this. And it usually lasts about 3 weeks. And then they're gone. And maybe they'll show up in about 6 months later when they're all gung-ho and excited about God again. Or maybe they never will. Then there are the briar patch Christians. Now, most of them would make excellent disciples, except they're too busy. Other priorities, their careers, their school, their family, their recreation have really grown up and crowded out the gospel. The church and their spiritual life have to take a backseat to all of the really important things. Their faith is like that tiny little flower trying to grow in a briar patch. What do we do with people like that? The Teflon people, the roller coaster people, the briar patch people. Folks with no commitments or folks with shallow commitments. Folks with other commitments. Well, I guess we have to do what God does. You love them. You keep planting those seeds. You keep providing opportunities for the Word of God to take root. You keep praying and hoping that the Spirit will take hold and help that person really blossom. And one thing you don't ever, ever do, you don't look down in self-righteousness on anybody. Because every fruitful disciple knows that our fruit is brought about only by the grace of God. In fact, if we're very honest with ourselves, we know that each of us has a little bit of each of those four kinds of soil in our own lives. There are some Teflon areas in my life where I just don't want to respond to what God wants me to do. There's a roller coaster that's a part of me too. One day it's up and the next day it's down. I can be so inconsistent. And there's a briar patch in my heart where the ambitions and the desires of this world fight faith every day for my allegiance. I know all these people because I am all these people. Aren't you? But you know what? There's hope. Because there is that fourth option here. Jesus said that other seeds fell on good soil. and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Then he explained, as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold. Some people receive the word like good soil receives seed. They're ready for it. They're primed. The word hits and there's an immediate reaction of growth. There's an understanding and joy, and the life of that person yields fruit for the kingdom. When it happens, it's a gift of grace. The good news today, though, is that we're not locked in. We have a choice. We can leave our Teflon roller coaster briar patch days behind us. We can take that fourth action. We can choose to live with excellence. We could be the good soil. But there are some things that we need to do to cultivate that. God's seed sprouts best in soil that's been prepared. And we prepare for our hearts for God's seed through prayer. And let's face it, as a bunch of liberal congregationalists, that doesn't always come easy. What you need to do is to take time to develop your prayer life, to spend time with God on a regular basis, to meditate on His Word, and it'll take root in you. The second thing is cultivate worship. The writer of Hebrews says, "Do not neglect to meet together. Come together as the body of Christ to celebrate what God has done and to lift up your voice in praise. Then your soil will be ready for God's word." We also have to cultivate learning. God's word doesn't just fall into our hearts like raindrops on the sidewalk. You have to actually take that Bible and open it and read it. Study it with others, discuss it together. Hopefully then it'll begin to make sense to you. Excellence in living is a process of learning. To be good soil, we need to cultivate service in our lives. If you're using your time and your energy, as many of you are, to do ministry of the church, or to help God's children in anywhere, that's a way of opening yourself for spiritual growth, for the word to take root and produce fruit in you. So all of these things, prayer and worship and learning and service, are ways to open ourselves for the seed of God's word to grow in us. It doesn't matter what stage in life you are. It doesn't matter what part of your spiritual journey you're on. Whatever has blocked your growth in the past, God wants your life to blossom. Let me tell you a little story. Out in Southern California, where it's warm, this is a perfect illustration for today, is a place where many of you are aware of called Death Valley. And Death Valley is 280 feet below sea level. Now, if you're ever silly enough to go there in the summer, sometimes the high temperature is in the 120 range for weeks at a time. The average yearly rainfall of this area is 2 inches a year. It's one of the hottest, driest, most desolate places on earth. But several years ago, something unprecedented happened. For 19 consecutive days, there was a gentle rain that blessed the soil of that inhospitable wasteland. And after the rains came, there was an amazing transformation in the desert. All kinds of seeds, some of them probably dormant for years, burst forth into flowers and plants never before seen in this hot and dry desert. And they brought forth blooms, and suddenly this wasteland became a wonderland of beauty. The good news is that can happen to us. Have our spirits become coated with Teflon to the Word of God? Has our spiritual life been a never-ending roller coaster of ups and downs? Have you let your faith get choked out by the briars of the world? God is sowing the seed of His kingdom in us. And you have a choice on what kind of soil you'll be. You have a choice on what kind of person you want to be. You have an opportunity to let God's seed sprout in you and grow. Your life can blossom, and you can live with excellence. Amen.